as we talk about all things growing in the garden and things that help pollinate our garden too, all right?
That's right. I try to stir around as much as I can. You know, we grow things in our garden for some of the things we grow, we eat the stems, like in rhubarb, the leaves, like in lettuce, or the roots, as in potatoes and radishes and carrots. But generally, most of them, the plants that we have in our garden, we like because of either the flowers they produce or the fruit, which is a after product of the flowers. Now, if we're trying to grow flowers, we really don't care about the process of pollination, other than, generally speaking, Mother Nature uses flowers to attract insects so that they will be pollinated. Because if the plant doesn't have the ability to create seed and carry its line on, that plant becomes extinct. And so those flowers are generally colorful, maybe fragrant. Some flowers are pollinated by flies, and fly-pollinated plants are ones generally you like to avoid flowering because they stink. They smell like rotten meat, because that's what attracts flies. Now, if we're having a bee-pollinated plant, then they often are colorful, and as I said, fragrant, and have nectar in them. And the bee will crawl in there, and the nectar is way down into the throat of the flower, so it has to crawl across the stamen, across the anther, and picks up pollen on its hairy legs. And as it goes across, generally when it flies to another flower, it crawls across that same parts, and the pollen may then fall on the pistil, which is the female part of the flower, and that pollen then germinates and elongates down into the tube and fertilizes the ovule, which is down in the ovary. And that's the start of the fruiting process. As soon as that seed is fertilized, then the petals generally fall off and the ovary starts to swell and get larger, and it becomes the fruit, like in the apple. Mm-hmm. Opposite the stem of the apple, you see a little thing, and that was where the flower petals were. The seeds are in the inside. And so one of the things we need to be careful of when we're gardening is some things that are close family related. The cucurbit family, for example. If you plant cucumbers and cantaloupe close by, or cantaloupe and some squash close by, they're close enough partners that close enough in the family that often they'll cross-pollinate. It doesn't affect the looks of the fruit, but sometimes you will affect the taste of the fruit, so you want to be sure that we're moving them apart from each other. And I'm not sure exactly which ones cross-pollinate, and so we need to look at that a little bit. Many of the cucurbits have male and female flowers, that one of the flowers will have just the male parts, the pollen, and one will just have the pistil. And so it's important that we do have bees in those fields to pollinate those plants, otherwise you won't get good fruit set. You know, if a farmer's growing pickles, for example, then they bring in hives of bees to pollinate them so that they get a good fruit set. Often, on like pumpkins, the same thing. The first flowers may be the male flowers and the female flowers don't necessarily mature at the same time, so you don't get fruit set off those first set of blossoms. Sometimes it's later on that we get some fruit set. They're valuable. The bees are very valuable in a lot of the industries, and I think we've talked about that before. The orchards all have fruits that needs to be set, and so we try and get more and more fruit set by getting a lot of bees to in there to help pollinate. Things like apple trees have a characteristic that even though the flower on those has both male and female parts, they produce better fruit if we have two different varieties, so that we're cross-pollinating those trees. For example, we may have a McIntosh and a Delicious that we plant side by side so that they're pollinating each other, and that gives us a heavier fruit set and a more quality fruit. Generally with apple trees, that's what we do. Often if we've got a wild crab apple tree or a crab apple tree in our yard, it is a good pollinator for those fruits, so I really don't need two plants. But we need to keep in mind that we also have hybrid plants that are specifically crossed between two things, two separate family, two separate lines of the same plant, to produce a plant that has very specially designed properties. And if we try to plant the seed that's produced by those plants, the offspring then is not the same as what we planted originally. So we'll find that in our, if you've planted petunias this year and you're not real quick at getting into that bed next year, you get a lot of volunteer petunias coming up, but they aren't going, likely are not going to look like the petunias you had last year, because the ones, most of the petunias that we have these days are hybrids. And so the offspring are going to be different in color, different in flower size, different in texture. So it's often not really of an advantage to allow them to grow. Same thing with the tomatoes. Most of the tomatoes we're growing nowadays are hybrid tomatoes. So if we get seed volunteering in the garden, you're probably not going to get the same quality of fruit that you had. We go back and look at some of the older varieties that are open pollinated than the heirloom varieties. Some of those we can save the seed and replant it and get going. So growing from seed is of an advantage, but you want to make sure that the seed you have that's going to give you the plant that you're looking for.
Kent Neitzert in the garden with us this morning, brought to you by Neitzert's Greenhouse and Florist. As home gardeners, then, is there a way to encourage those bees to be in your garden? Because obviously it sounds like we need to have them there.
We do. Yes, you want to plant a variety of plants that flower over the entire summer. One of the problems we're having with bees is a problem called colony collapse disorder that's been around, and we're not sure exactly what causes it. We think it's a combination of different things. And one of the problems is farming these days, instead of having a 5-acre field of corn and a 10-acre field of soybeans, now we've got a 600-acre field of corn, and there's no diversity in plant material, so that there's a lot of pollen available and nectar available for the bee at one time of the year, but he can't find anything to feed on later on, so that becomes a problem. We also want to be sure that we're real careful in the use of pesticides in our gardens and when we apply them. We want to apply them late in the evening when the bees have gone back to bed. They go to bed before we do generally. So, you know, just an hour before dark or that time evening when the bees aren't around in the trees and flowers, that's a good time to apply it. We also need to be really careful to apply according to the directions on the label, so we don't overapply and put too much down. And again, pesticides are one of the problems that has helped to accentuate the problem of colony collapse disorder.
All right. Kent Neitzert in the garden. Again, questions for Kent, 279-1590. That's the number to call, 279-1590. For Kent Neitzert in the garden.
The best way to become a better gardener is to become a more knowledgeable gardener. On Saturday, July 26th, Neitzert's Greenhouse and Florist will hold their annual garden walk. The Garden Walk Open House is an opportunity to stroll through Neitzert's nearly 7 acres of display and trial gardens and talk with the experts to find out easier and better ways to garden, plus view new and unique plant materials that you might decide will look great in your own garden. The Garden Walk runs from noon till 4 p.m., so stop out on Fisk Road, 1.5 miles south of US 12, and get on track to becoming a better gardener, or just enjoy a lovely planting at Neitzert's Greenhouse and Florist.
Just in front of 8 o'clock now, Kent Neitzert in the garden with us. Again, 279-1590. If you have questions for Kent, give us a call and we'll get them answered here this morning. Sweet corn coming in now.
It is. I think I'm going to have some ready this weekend. I've looked at it a couple of times. Sweet corn is one of those things that is wind pollinated. It's not an insect's problem. The tassels, the pollen is on the tassels at the top, and the pistil is the female portion is down on the ear of the silk. So that pollen has to fall on the end of that silk, and it germinates a full length of that silk down and fertilizes each kernel of corn. So we need to be sure, and when we're planting corn, that we put it in blocks, because if you have a single row, the pollen falls off and falls on the ground. You want it to fall into the next row so that we've got good pollination occurring there.
All right, let's head to the phones. Hi, go ahead with your question for Kent.
Probably was a question about corn I just answered.
There you go. Let's see. Maybe let's see if we can get that there. see if we'll get this one on the air or not. But within that, with detasseling then, give me just a real quick read on what that is all about.
Well,
because kids are out doing it right now.
Yeah, when you're growing, what they're working at there is seed corn, and that seed corn is all hybrid. We want a specific parent, dad, that produces the pollen, and we want a specific mother, which produces the seed, so that we plant, generally they'll plant about 5 rows of corn that are all female, and we make it female by about the time the tassel develops and getting ready to produce the pollen, we go through and take the tassel off of it so that that plant produces no pollen, and then there's a single row that is allowed to tassel out and produce the pollen. So we have the pollen from one particular variety, one particular line of plant, pollinating 5 other rows. And then we harvest those 5 rows, and that's the particular hybrid seed corn. And they'll go through and rogue out that single row of male corn. Used to be they'd chop it out, but nowadays I think they go in and just destroy it because they don't want the genetics of that particular plant to be available to their competitors.
All right. I go ahead with a question for Kent in the garden this morning.
Well, this one is ridiculous, but I have my yard is full of all kind of fungi, toadstools, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But I have one that is extremely odoriferous.
Mm. Stinks.
Are you familiar with all those things?
Well, you know, I used to be kind of a fun guy myself, but...
Good job.
The moisture that we've had this year has been really good for development of fungus because they fungus germinate when the spores have been moist for a certain length of time. We have the correct temperatures. I'm not familiar with, other than the morels that we hunt in the spring, different types of toadstools. But if you have them, they do have a specific odor to them. You can, it's kind of a damp.
This is more than damp. This is just an old outhouse.
Yeah.
Well, your neighbor doesn't have a Labrador Retriever, does he?
Yeah, not that kind of. Or a Great Dane. Yeah. And to get rid of those, you can just mow them off or knock them off, and they will not be back. Probably in a week or 10 days, the conditions will be such that you're not going to have a lot more of them. It's also a sign that you've got a lot of organic matter in your yard that those fungi are growing on. So I'm not sure that there's much of a cure for getting rid of them other than just take your foot, knock them off, or take the mower and chop them off so that they're not there anymore.
Unfortunate thing about this one is right at the back porch, right at the door.
Yeah.
And that thing is stinks.
Yes.
I mean, and it's not just one. There's a whole colony.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I think you'll find that in a week or 10 days that we're going to be beyond the time that particular fungus grows and gives you problems.
Well, fun guy, have fun.
No,
all
right.
And hand out nose clips to your neighbors when they come over. So, all right, good stuff. During the week, catch him at the greenhouse, 1.5 miles south of US 12 on Fisk Road. Or on Thursday mornings, catch him here on the radio. Kent Neitzert in the garden. We'll talk
all
next
right.
week.
Thank you.